Welcome to this podcast produced by the International News Safety Institute on dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder in the newsroom.
My name is Neil Greenberg. I'm a psychiatrist. I'm the president of the UK Psychological Trauma Society. I served for 23 years in the Navy, and I'm particularly interested in psychological trauma. How common is PTSD? About 3% in the English population, about 4% in the military personnel. And you probably know that, you know, there's different studies, war correspondents. One study, Anthony Feinstein's, found up to 20% of war correspondents. So not all trauma leads to psychological illness. Most people who get distressed recover, otherwise your industry would have fallen apart many years ago. But the key thing is that most people with mental health problems don't get any help at all. So what can organisations do to try and do something about this? And generally in medicine, we tend to think that preventative medicine is the best approach to things. And preventative medicine primarily says, can you prevent things happening? If you can't prevent them happening, can you detect them early on so that you intervene before they become serious conditions? And then if people are actually unwell, how do you give them definitive treatment? You know, if you just did one thing to try and make a difference to prevent people having mental health problems, it would be to make sure that the operational editors or managers, the people who are actually sending staff and looking after them in the high-risk environment, really do understand and that they're properly trained and they're aware, because that is dramatic. Another thing you can do is to keep an eye on your staff who have been trauma-exposed. NICE use this term watchful waiting. And the idea is that people who are working in challenging environments, because they don't ask for help, if you don't actively monitor them, then they're not going to come forward and ask for care. What you should not be doing is to be flying in super counsellor to any situation. There is a role for counselling and therapy and mental health professionals, and our role really is twofold. One is to treat the few people who actually do have PTSD, you know, who are spotted by their colleagues, their families and their friends down the line. And the second thing is to advise organisations to do the right thing. Now, the grandmother test works. And what the grandmother test means is that if you're about to send Bob out to Afghanistan and you want to know if Bob's going to do okay, well, if Bob's got relationship problems at home, he doesn't like the boss he's going to go and be working for. The last time he was in Afghanistan, he did really badly, and he doesn't really want to go. He's only doing it because he's being egged on. You know, your grandmother could tell you that that person's going to have a tough time. You don't need any posh psychological test to do that. Inevitably, in a high trauma-exposed environment, people will become ill. You know, you can do everything right. You have a fabulous boss, you know, time off. You can do everything, but some will become ill. And the real challenge is, how do you get the few who become ill to actually go forward and put a hand up and get help? You need to look at your at policies and structures that don't say the first thing you will do is be taken off your duties. I work with a train company, and you know, train drivers, people throw themselves in front of trains. And this one particular train company, I had no idea why, had decided that when someone was a train driver and they had someone throw themselves in front, what they would do is they would instantly take them straight away from the workplace, put them at home for a month, so they didn't have to come in and have any stress. So the intention behind it was a nice intention. The people they took off, these train drivers, you know, you can imagine, can't you? You know, what do people think of me? Who do I talk to about this? I don't want to worry my wife. So again, if people are unwell, the thing is to facilitate every route that you can to allow them to seek help. And that's, you know, through your policies. But also, I think the media industry is quite good at this, having journalists, maybe these senior ones, who have had difficulties and then have recovered, talk about their journey. So the most important thing that helps someone who doesn't think they should get help go and get it is actually hearing stories of people that they respect who have done the same thing. People who are best placed to spot who's got problems are the people who actually understand what the story is about. You know, they're actually able to see, and that's their colleagues. So in summary, most people exposed to traumatic events cope well. However, some will inevitably become ill, a minority, but some will. Those who do are unlikely to seek help. The majority will not tell anyone about it. There's lots of reasons why you should pay attention to it. I think most importantly, because you should do the right thing by your staff, but also you don't want to expose other members of staff to people who are operating, you know, below efficiency. And there are ways that you can support your staff. And I think if you look after your staff properly, you know, they'll probably do a better job anyway. And then, you know, as I said, you know, the role of the experts is not to dive in and counsel, it's to advise organisations and to provide treatment where they need it. But the key things are good monitoring, managers that are really trauma aware, and providing a venting opportunity that people can talk to, which is not about, right, well, we've only got 10 minutes at the team meeting, so let's do 5 minutes on what went wrong and, you know, anyone got any issues? No, great, you're all fine, that's fabulous, let's go. I know that's life, and maybe it works elsewhere, but if you want to get rid of the effects of the trauma or mitigate it, you have to provide those venting opportunities.
This podcast was produced by the International News Safety Institute. For more information on INSEE, please go to www.newssafety.org.